Nashville Sports Network. Let's talk racing. This is Chasing Checkers with Chase McKay.
Checkered flag is in the air.
Oh, yeah! Woo!
Racing lives here. Your sports live here.
All right, boys, let's do this.
On 102.5 and 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville Sports Network.
Green flag is in the air. The NASCAR Cup Series is racing at Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez.
There is rain falling here on this end of the course at turn 14 and 15. And by rule, again, they do have the wet weather tires. We put the caution flag out now. We're going to slow things down here.
Whoa, Kyle Busch gets nailed. He clobbers A.J. Allmendinger. Kyle Larson gets swept up. Chase Briscoe is off course.
Ryan Preece now splitting the difference right down the middle of this front straightaway. Looks at the flag stand and sees the green and white checkered flag waving.
Green and white checkered flag will go in the air. Shane Van Gisbergen picks up the stage to win.
SVG floats the car in the right-hander in turn 11. Christopher Bell now having to protect. Oh, the lunge move to driver's left. Here comes Shane Van Gisbergen. A strong move to the lead.
This, the inaugural NASCAR Cup Series race in Mexico City in the 30th career start in the Cup Series. Shane Van Gisbergen takes the checkered flag.
And that is how it sounded on the Motor Racing Network as SVG Shane Van Gisbergen gets it done from Autodromo Hermanos Rodriguez. What's going on? Welcome into Chasing Checkers. Chase McCabe here with you on 102.5, 106.3, The Game. On this Wednesday evening, after a couple weeks off, we had to kind of decompress after the race at Nashville, took a few days off, and then with some of the playoff schedules, just decided to take a little sabbatical, and now we're back talking some racing with all of you. Really excited about tonight's show. Speaking of Nashville, my partner at the Nashville Super Speedway, Joe Williams, who's been a radio guy, he's covered racing in Nashville for a long time. He's going to join the show in our next segment. And also Todd Gilliland, the driver of the number 34 for Front Row Motorsports, is going to be our guest as well. But we got to start with, you just heard it, Mexico City and that dominating performance by SVG. I mean, he was just, he led 60 laps of the 100. He sat on the pole. You can tell that he was just in his element, and with so many road courses on the NASCAR schedule, you got to figure that he's going to, you know, win at least one of them. He's already done that. His first win was his first NASCAR race at the Chicago Street Course. He's won some races in Xfinity. I mean, he's certainly in his wheelhouse as a road course ringer. So he gets the win and obviously was very excited about that after the race.
Yeah, thank you, everyone. Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant day, brilliant weekend, I guess, for us with a pole and a win. I really am stoked for Safety Culture to get a great result with them. We've had speed with them on the car, but never had a great result. So amazing to win with an Australian company on the car. And just thank you so much to the Trackhouse guys, Chevy, ECR Engines, and everyone who's supported us and dug deep. You know, it's been a tough start to the year, but there's been a lot of bright spots lately, a lot of progress, and yeah, today was that last stint. You know, I struggled to enjoy it because I'm just praying that a yellow wouldn't come out, but the car was just like unreal, just so balanced. And yeah, I kind of took off to a lap time and thought, oh, maybe the 48's cruising, maybe he's not, and then they just blew off. So it was those last 10 or 15 was pretty special.
That's SVG after his win, and look, we know how the rules work. Now that he's won this race, it's put him in the playoffs. And it's interesting, as we take you through the top 10 real quick, Christopher Bell was second, Chase Elliott. Watch out for Chase Elliott. I think he's starting to come on. Alex Bowman, great run for him. As a same for Michael McDowell in fifth, John Hunter Nemechek sixth, Chase Briscoe seventh, and Cole Custer, William Byron, Chris Buescher. That is the top 10. I felt, and I know a lot of you are going to go, I didn't, but I felt bad for Ty Gibbs, because it was just the situation of pit stops and all that. He had a really good car. He had a car capable of winning, led 27 laps in the race and just got mired back there and finished 11th. But that's how it goes sometime. The interesting part about Shane Van Gisbergen getting this win, if you look at the standings, you got to go all the way down to 30th to find SVG. it has not been a good first year of NASCAR Cup Series racing. That was his first win. That was his first top five. And that was only his second top 10 of the season. And that puts him in the playoffs. He's had three DNFs. He's only led 85 laps. 60 of those came on Sunday. But that's the rules. That's how it's set up. He's now been put in this position where, you know, he can get more playoff points by winning some of these other road course races. Because I think, by my math, that was only the second road course, I think, because you had COTA, which was March 2nd, and then they've been on ovals ever since. So then you have Mexico City. Pocono is obviously a triangle, then Atlanta. Then you go to Chicago on July 6th, which is the street course. Go to Sonoma. That's the third road course of the year on July 13th. Then they go to Watkins Glen August 10th. That's an opportunity for him. Now you enter the playoffs, and you got the Roval. So, I mean, there's a few more left that SVG could certainly be a guy to watch. But like I mentioned, he's in the playoffs, and that certainly can be a game changer because he's now essentially taken a spot from one of these guys that hadn't won yet. He talked about how important it was to be in the playoffs.
It means everything to us. You know, that's essentially why I'm here, right? So, but I am getting better and more competitive in ovals. I said earlier, my average oval running position's gone from 85th to 10th to 20th or 10th to 15th on a good day. Like, we're really making a lot of progress, and I've sort of just not been forcing it. You know, I've been methodical, got better every week, I feel like, and it's been really fun working with my 88 crew the last, all year, but the last couple of months. Yes, it's been great to show some improvement and be competitive.
That's SVG talking about the playoffs. And look, I mean, has he gotten better? Sure. I will certainly give him that. But, I mean, this is what it's looked like this year for him. He won this last race, 18th at Michigan, 25th here in Nashville. Then there was a kind of a good section, 14th in the Coke 600, wasn't bad. 20th at Kansas, 22nd at Texas, 29th at Talladega. So, I mean, look, you had to expect him to improve. He finished sixth at COTA, which was that first road course. You had to expect him to improve. But I it is interesting, and there's a lot of people that don't like how this is set up, that if you win, you're in the playoffs. When you look at him and he's 30th in points, that he's now – you know, as your points watching, you know, as you kind of look at things, that cutoff, I mean, there's going to be guys, somebody's going to get left out because SVG took a spot because he's good on road courses. Is that bad? Is that the system? Does it need to change? You know, I don't know. I mean, if you're good on a super speedway, like there's a guy that could win at Daytona before the cutoff that gets into the playoffs, we've seen it before, that probably doesn't deserve it, but they're good on super speedways, or they're just lucky. So that is kind of the system. But I think if he can win another one of these races and then either win on an oval or just continue to improve on oval, he'll shut some of that up. I think he's a talented driver, but it is certainly something that I think is worth kind of paying attention to. Now, looking at the Mexico City as a whole, the race was boring. He dominated it, especially there at the end. I mean, it was a little exciting at the beginning, but then it kind of got spread out, especially in that last stage, and SVG just kind of ran away with it. I think it was a little more exciting at the beginning because the rain happened, and they're in the race in the rain. So the question now is, are they going to go back? Is this a one and done? Ben Kennedy was asked about that. Of course, he is, I forget his exact title, but he's one of the decision makers within NASCAR. He basically makes the schedule. Here was his answer.
Put a different spin on it this time. We're very hopeful to be back here in the future. You know, we've said this time and time again that, you know, if you look at the evolution of our sport over the past 5 or 6 years, right? And we went through a bit of a transition in leadership. We have Steve Phelps and Jim kind of, you know, at the helm. And we've been bold and we've been innovative. We've done things like races in downtown Los Angeles and building a temporary stadium there. First ever street race in our sports history in downtown Chicago. And this was the next milestone moment for us, is bringing a race internationally. And I can tell you, we're very bold about continuing to bring our NASCAR Cup Series internationally. You know, Mexico is a great place to do it. You know, this weekend is a great example of that. And I would say we're very hopeful to be here, you know, long term.
We're hopeful to be back. We're hopeful to be here in the future. There's no mention of next year. And that really caught my attention. And I kind of had this feeling going into it because concerns about travel. I think there were some of the drivers were kind of like, I don't know about it. There were a lot of different things that they had to figure out and they had to learn, you know, when they were going through this process. So I kind of had this thought of, they're going to do this one time and that's it. And I still kind of feel that way based on the weekend, based on the answers, and the media that was there basically doubled down on that question and essentially said to Ben that, hey, you're being noncommittal, and this was the answer there.
Yeah, I would say, you know, a lot of it is just as we're going through the planning of putting together the pieces of the 2026 schedule, there are a lot of dominoes that need to fall. And every domino affects another domino as we start to stitch a schedule together. So, you know, this is a new event. Every time we do a first year event, you know, think about LA, think about Chicago, we learn so many things. We've learned a ton throughout the past, I don't know what it's been, 9 or 10 months since we announced this event. OCESA has learned a ton, and you know, I think it's a good opportunity for us to do a deep dive in postmortem. But our hope is for this to be a mainstay on the NASCAR Cup Series schedule and for us to return here in the future.
So again, return here in the future. To me, I don't think they're going next year. Now, what I will say to that is, it was cool, you know, going through the stadium section and all of that. I think it's okay what NASCAR has done really since after the pandemic of making this schedule more diverse, because the car kind of allows them to do that. But you've had a few events that, you know, they've gone on for a couple of years and then they've come off the schedule and new events have come on the schedule and all that. Like, it's, to me, it's okay to visit some of these places, you know, not every year. And especially a place like Mexico, like, hey, we like it. We're going to go back. We're not going to do it next year. We might do this like every other year, you know, just like I think, you know, we're going to see the Grant Park race in Chicago. This will probably be the last one because the rumors out there today that they're basically close to announcing San Diego. They're not going to do two street races in 1 year. They're very, very expensive to put on. I know that because of the Music City Grand Prix. So I think they're going to now shift the street race from Chicago. They're going to go to San Diego. You know, North Wilkesboro keeps coming up of going on the schedule and not being the all-star. You know, I think Rockingham's sitting out there, you know, having the trucks and Xfinity back of, hey, they'd like to have a cup race again. We keep crying for more short tracks. I know a great one in downtown Nashville that could be good. I mean, so there's a lot of places out there that I think they want to go to, and they could do that if they're willing to basically have their marquee events that they're going to go to every year and then have some that, hey, we're going to make it extra special because we're going to not go every year and we're going to make you want more. And I think that's okay. Like, I love that they went to Iowa and now Iowa's already sold out for, you know, year number two. Like, keep going to Iowa. Iowa's a great track. It's in the middle of nowhere, but it's a great track. It's a short track. That's fine. But you can go find some of these special places that you can go to. I want to play this one cut real quick from Jeff Gordon, because he got asked, do you think NASCAR kind of missed an opportunity? The Xfinity Series went like 15 years ago, but the Cup Series had never been. Missed an opportunity with some of the guys like Jeff Gordon, Tony Stewart, Dale Jr., Carl Edwards, that never raced there in the Cup Series. And could they have capitalized that on that back in the time? Here's Jeff Gordon.
I mean, like you said, hindsight, it would have been nice to figure. I don't remember why we didn't. I wasn't a part of those discussions. This car offers a lot more opportunity. That's why we're going to street courses now, you know, or have been going to Chicago. You know, the brakes on this car and just the aero package on this car, just the transmission, everything allows you to do more road racing. And I just don't know that, you know, road racing at that time was as popular as it is today, especially in the Cup Series. And we didn't have a car that I think could be as adaptable. So don't know the other reasons why, but yes, of course, you know, like you wish that we had come here sooner. And some of the stars that are known names and faces that helped, you know, really make the sport popular, whether it be the late 90s, like some of us older guys, or, you know, the mid 2000s, you know, I think it would have been great for the fans here in Mexico to have been able to experience that. But we're here now, and I think we still got a lot of young, great stars and should put on a good race.
That was Jeff Gordon, you know, talking about it, was asked if it was a missed opportunity. And in some ways it was, but I agree with him on the car. And I think NASCAR is just in a different place where they're willing to be a little less traditional and a little more, I call it dynamic, on the schedule. And I think that's been a very, very good thing. Coming up next, my buddy Joe Williams is going to join the show. He is the track announcer at the Duck River Raceway here in Middle Tennessee, and also my partner at the Nashville Super Speedway NASCAR races. He's been around the fairgrounds for a long time. So we'll talk a little local racing and some NASCAR with him as well. Todd Gilliland will join later in the program. It's Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
You're listening to Chasing Checkers on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game here on this Wednesday. Thanks so much for being with us. Excited about our next guest. This is the guy that, when I first met him about, I don't know, 4 or 5 years ago, he said, "You and I are going to have to become best friends real fast." And you know what? We did. And I'm happy to bring in Joe Williams, who is my partner in the booth at the Nashville Super Speedway. He's also the voice out at Duck River Raceway. And Joe, I'd say we did a pretty good job of that.
You know, I think we did. And I told you that because the first time we met, of course, we'd never worked together. But when you become friends, you develop a rhythm, and I think we've done that, and hopefully the folks enjoy it.
Well, I think so, and obviously we had a lot of fun. This is our first show that we've done since race weekend out at the Nashville Super Speedway, so we've all kind of had a little bit of time to, I guess, decompress. But I do remember walking into the booth on Friday and saying, I don't know, boys, watch out for that 12 and Ryan Blaney, and sure enough, he found his way in victory lane.
I was going, you know, it's funny because we had a little wager for entertainment purposes only. And I gave you Blaney and I took the field, and it cost me.
For entertainment purposes only.
Only, yes. But no, you absolutely called that on Friday. I was greatly impressed. And I guess with about 15 to go, I'm sitting here thinking, oh, somebody get me some mustard. This crow has got to have something to go down easier.
For people that don't know, you have you've been covering racing in this market for how long now?
I started doing PA work at the Fairground Speedway. I graduated in May of 81, and I started in September of 81.
Wow. So you saw the Cup Series there. You've seen all the weekly stuff. You've seen some of the big names come through there. In your time.
Yeah, you know, the crazy part about it is I was the public relations director at Fairground Speedway in 1984, the last year we had Cup races. Now, I'm 21 years old. I got no business in this job. Absolutely none. But Joe Carver Sr. was running the place, and I learned so much from Joe. He kind of pulled me through that stuff, and it just kind of hung from there. I mean, I went from PA work, and I was working for an old legacy station in town. Folks may remember the call letters WMAK back in the day, 1300. They were the big AM station. And by the time I got there, they were not a big AM station because the FMs had taken over. But we did a couple of years of broadcasting the races. And when I left there, I went to work at the racetrack. I got to see the great, did Neil Bonnet win? Did Darrell Waltrip win? Controversy. I will say with a little bit of pride, I actually called that one because I saw the caution was out with a white flag. Of course, it took NASCAR until Tuesday to figure that out.
Imagine that.
But one of my favorite things, thinking back to that, there used to be a bullpen we used for Victory Lane. And we were all down there waiting on the winning car. And Junior Johnson owned both of them. And they closed the gates, wouldn't let anybody in, wouldn't let any of the cars in. And I looked up and I said, well, Mr. Johnson, who do you think won this race? And I'll never forget, he looked at me in that great draw. He said, hell, son, I don't care. I win either way.
I could totally hear Junior saying that.
Oh, yeah.
Well, so who won the race?
Well, Neil got the pictures and the guitar and the trophies on Saturday, and Darrell got the victory on Tuesday.
And the money.
Junior didn't care. He was going to finish first and second anyway.
Yeah.
And then, of course, in July, we saw an unsponsored car, numbered 5, with All-Star Racing on the side of it, driven by a guy by the name of Jeff Bodine, who came out and beat Darrell Waltrip at his own game. He just ran that bottom line all night long. And a fellow by the name of Rick Hendrick, who owned the car, won his second race. And that's the only reason that they were able to continue racing. And look what happened to that.
If I recall, it was the car was predominantly red with number 5 on it. And some 30 years later, Rick Hendrick came back to Nashville, albeit about 30 miles down I-40, and won in another number 5 that was painted red.
You're exactly right.
That'd be Kyle Larson.
Yep. It was. It's strange how things come back full circle. So, you know, I mean, Hendrick was on a 2-race winning streak. It took him 30 years, but he was on a 2-win. You know,
he'll take it. He will take it.
Absolutely.
Joe Williams is my guest here on Chasing Checkers. So now you've gone from asphalt to dirt out at Duck River, and you know we do quite a bit with Duck River Raceway. What's it been like calling these dirt races?
You know, it took me a while. This is my third season with my partner John Nix down there, and it took me a while to get used to it because, man, I'm an asphalt guy. I've always been an asphalt guy. And the more I'm around this dirt stuff, the more I enjoy it. You really can be a fan of both. And you have to understand, Chase, there was a time when Duck River's reputation was maybe not the greatest in the world.
Right.
There were a couple of racetracks, one asphalt and one dirt here in the area, where the old joke used to be that if you signed in at the pits, they ask you, are you carrying a gun? And if you said no, they handed you one and said, bring it back at the end of the night. I will say this. I had some trepidations about going to Duck River, but the new owners, Russell and Angie Booth, what they've done to this place, is just unbelievable as far as cleaning it up. They've put some bad apples on the road, quite honestly. I mean, every group's got them. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They don't tolerate it. They've built suites. They've put in it's hard to say a world-class restroom, but I mean, that's basically what it is. I was talking to a buddy of mine the other day. He says, yeah, I was down there a couple of weeks ago for the first time in years. He said, and I walked in and the bathroom's air conditioned. What is this? But I mean, they built, I mean, brand new. Now, Russell, his construction is his day job, as I call it. He owns Platinum Builders over in Murfreesboro. And I tell you what, his guys are awfully good because they have done a job down there. And, you know, some things don't change. It is weekly racing at its best. Those guys down there get along pretty good. If you've got a problem and you need something, guy next to you, he's going to race against you in 10, 15 minutes. But if you need something, he's got it. Come get it.
He'll help you out for sure. So coming up, that's Saturday night. You got the Weekland Racing Series. But I know everybody's really excited about 4th of July weekend, the Independence Day special, which is both Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah, they do. We do a couple of two-day shows a year and bring in some of the very best traveling circuits on dirt. And I got to tell you, Independence Day, the 4th of July weekend, will be no different. And if I know this bunch, they're just going to crank it up a little bit more. It is amazing to see, and the Hunt the Front series is quite honestly, I don't mean to drag on anybody else, but the Hunt the Front series is probably my favorite. We saw them come in last year and started 24 of these big, long, super late models that are averaging about 68 miles an hour on a quarter-mile racetrack. They ran 50 laps caution-free and had 24 cars running at the end.
Wow.
And let me tell you, to watch somebody like a Sam Seawright, some of these guys who just pick traffic like you wouldn't believe. I mean, the Xfinity guys could take some lessons on etiquette.
Oh, yeah, they need that.
Traffic. Oh, man.
Well, yeah, I definitely am going to, you know, you keep telling me I need to come down there. I need to. I want to experience some dirt racing and hang out with you guys.
Oh, you've got to come down and hang out with us. You know, a couple of weeks ago, Zeke the Zebra showed, or Ed the Zebra showed up. I mean, it was amazing. As I told somebody, we had quite a menagerie that night. We had Duck River, we had Ed the Zebra, and two jackasses behind the microphones.
And hey, you know what? It worked out great with that.
Yeah, it did. That's the other thing I'll tell you about Duck River. You're allowed to have fun. It is a family atmosphere, and you're allowed to have fun. It's okay to cut up a little bit, and when we're racing, we're serious. And Chase, let me tell you, here's the thing about dirt that really amazed me. There is no downtime between events.
Yeah.
These drivers know where they're supposed to be. There's a lineup posted. This is how you're supposed to line up. And when they get into the staging area coming off of turn four, that's the order that they're in. And when one race finishes and the cars clear the track, the next race rolls out. There's no 4 or 5 minutes in between. I mean, Jack, when they get moving, we race and we go.
Yeah, and I love that. And I think what's so cool is whether it's the fairgrounds or Duck River or Highland Rim or up in Clarksville, I mean, there's so many local short tracks, asphalt and dirt in our area that I think some people just, you know, either don't know about or have forgotten about. But you want to see whether it's an up-and-comer or just people that love racing and they know they're never going to race, you know, NASCAR or whatever, but they don't care. That's not what they're in it for. They're just in it because they love it. You need to go check some of these places out.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, there's, you know, local racetracks across the country, as we know, are dying out. You know, yeah. I know it.
Yeah.
We are fortunate here in Middle Tennessee that we still have several that are going. You know, you look at some of the longstanding tracks in Alabama, and I think about a bunch of them that I've worked with before. You know, Mobile's still around. Huntsville's hanging on, but Birmingham's gone. I think Dixie Speedway in Sayre, Alabama, may still be running some, but it's just not like it was. You know, I'm sitting here thinking Winchester, Tennessee is gone. Tullahoma, Tennessee is gone. Baxter's gone. Atomic Speedway, one of the iconic dirt racetracks that I had the privilege of working at for a while and helping them on special events and such. It's now an industrial park.
Mm. I hate that.
Every time I go to Knoxville and pass by there, I just want to cry.
Yeah. Well, I mean, look, it's just, like I said, people got to support these places to keep them going. Before I let you go, NASCAR went to Mexico City, the Cup Series, for the first time. It was kind of boring. I mean, SVG kind of ran away with it. I thought it was cool that they had the section of the racetrack that literally goes through a stadium. That was kind of neat. You know, you've never really seen that before. But I'm curious of what this looks like moving forward, especially now with the news that looks like they're closing in on a deal in San Diego to do a street race. Could this be a one and done for NASCAR?
Well, you know, the Xfinity Series went down in race day.
Yep.
Years ago. And the nightmare, I have some good friends, Todd Wilkerson and the guys up at Bruco Motorsports in Owensboro were still running a couple of Xfinity cars at the time. And the nightmare to get in and out of that joint, and the nightmare that NASCAR teams went through this time to get in and out of that joint. I mean, when you got to have armed guards to get you from the border to your site because of the territory you're passing through, that's a little squeamish for me.
Yeah.
The Xfinity Series went once or maybe twice, and they were done. A street race in San Diego tells me that the street race in Chicago is done.
Right.
Because I don't think NASCAR wants more than one street race a year.
Yeah, I would agree.
And I got to be honest, I'm kind of hopeful that was a one and done kind of deal. The opening part of that race was, I can think of several terms, but this being a family show, I won't use them.
I can think of them for you.
Yeah. And then, you know, boring. Chase, the guy won by 20-something. I mean, they put a ringer in here. He wins by 20 seconds.
Yeah.
You know, that's like the old days when Cale Yarborough might lap the field at the fairgrounds.
Yep. Which I think he did, right?
I watched him do that one night. Now, part of that, of course, at that time, you had a lot more mechanical issues, breakdowns, tires, et cetera. So, I mean, there are a lot of things that flew into that other than what SVG did, and that was just kick their butts. That's all he did.
I mean, he did that at a lot of places.
Yeah, and I mean, but he's that good. And I think he's going to get better on the ovals. I think he's got an opportunity. But, you know, you go to a road course, you got SVG, you got Chase, and who else?
I mean, Larson's become a pretty good road racer in his own right. I think
he's getting better.
You know, he's been sneaky with that. I think he's got 6 wins, but it will be interesting to see. One quick note, how do you think Dale Earnhardt Jr., the crew chief, is going to do? He's supposedly going to be filling in on one of his cars with Connor Zilich this weekend at Pocono. To my knowledge, Jr. has never crew chiefed in his life, so this should be interesting as he'll fill in for Marty Lindley.
Well, he's going to find out real quick, as you and I have found out before. Is it really as easy as it looks from the booth? Yeah, and I know you and I both have had those situations where we've kind of said things or strategized some things from the booth, but yet when we've been down on pit road, it's a little bit different.
A little bit,
and I'm anxious to see how he makes that transition. But here's the thing: I don't think people give Junior enough credit for. I don't think they give him enough credit for just how smart he really is.
Sure.
And yeah, he's one of those, I call him Fox smart people. He wants you to think that he's just not, you know, he's just a good old boy from North Carolina who happens, you know, don't be fooled.
No, he knows his stuff. I'll give him that.
I'll guarantee you he'll do a good job. And I think he's going to surprise some folks. Now, the other part of it is, he may get down there and find out that, you know, it really is different than what he sees in the booth.
Yeah, oh, I'm sure it'll give him different perspective, too. So, will certainly be interesting. Joe, my friend, this has been fun. It will not be the only time that we do this. We definitely need to do this more and talk some racing, tell some stories, but appreciate it.
Absolutely. Just give me a call, and I better see you at Duck River here for long.
Oh, you will. Don't worry. I'm going to get down there and watch some dirt.
All right, partner, appreciate it.
Appreciate Joe Williams for joining us here on the program. Coming up next, if you missed it this morning on the Chase and Big Joe show, driver Todd Gilliland joined us and talked about Mexico City and also Pocono coming up this weekend. Todd Gilliland joins us next here on Chasing Checkers, 102.5 The Game.
This is Chasing Checkers. Your sports live here on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game on this Wednesday night. Chase McCabe with you. You know, you can join me and Big Joe Dubin every Monday through Friday from 9 to 11 here on 102.5 The Game. And earlier today, Todd Gilliland joined the show. Bringing the driver of the number 34 for Front Row Motorsports, Todd Gilliland is on the line with us. And Joe, you may remember We talked to Todd last year on the morning of the Daytona 500 when they ran it on Monday. He was nice enough to come on our show. Todd, welcome back.
Yeah, awesome. It's definitely great to talk to you guys again.
Mexico City was kind of a wild ride for you early in that race, but you made it through that wreck. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah, it was definitely a wild ride. I think, kind of all weekend we showed really good speed throughout practice, qualifying, and we weren't great when the race started, for sure. So we were just kind of hanging around, kind of where we started, for that first stage, and very lucky to have missed that wreck. I don't, sometimes I feel like the driver makes a little bit of difference, but I had no clue what was going on, and I just saw every single person that was around just slide off in front of me. So worked out perfect for us, but I got really lucky there, and same thing kind of carried on. We weren't great the rest of the race, but overall definitely could have been worse if you got caught up in that wreck.
Did you go get a lottery ticket when you got back? I mean, that's how lucky that was for you to get through that.
Yeah, I agree. I didn't get a lottery ticket. I think it could go either way. I hope I didn't use up all my luck for the whole season right there. But hopefully it's like what you're saying, that the luck is just going to continue on. I like that much better.
What was the atmosphere like? I thought it was cool, you guys, like, running through a stadium, essentially, is what it was. I mean, it definitely seemed like the fans were into it, but first time with the Cup Series in Mexico City, what was that like?
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I think the excitement level, like you mentioned, is it was pretty much like anything I've never seen before. So, we went out to the fan zone. We're getting absolutely mobbed with people, which was a lot of fun. Just to see the excitement, the energy behind it all was great. So, the racetrack itself is really nice. We had great accommodations when we were there. We had great food, and like I said, the racetrack raced really well for our Cup Series cars. And the stadium section for sure was, again, like nothing I've ever seen. So, a lot of firsts, and it's still really fun and exciting that, with all the travel, all the different things that it takes to get down there, that NASCAR can still put on our normal great show, right, at seems like any racetrack. So I think that says a lot about, the state of NASCAR right now, and it's a lot of fun to be a part of it.
Todd, you have 6 top 15 runs this year. What's the line between doing really, really well and, like, finishing 38th? I got to think it's a small one, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very small. It's it doesn't take much, especially in the next-gen car and the, the times that we're in right now in the Cup Series. It's just, the margins are razor thin. So, you have to have really good pit stops. You have to qualify well to get off to a good start. But there's definitely still cars that drive better than others. So, it's still the same old thing of, we have to have speed and handling in our race car. But nowadays, I think it just makes all the details so much more important because everyone is so close. So, that comes down to no pit road penalties, gaining spots on pit road if possible. Restarts are extremely important because, 90% of the time, I would say, the restarts are where you're going to get your chunk of spots, whether it's, gaining 5 or losing 5. For the next, I would say those spots come in the first 5 laps after a restart. And then the next 50 laps after that, it might take you to get those spots back. So, it's all in the details now, and it's, all, very, very close to, razor-thin margins, I'd say.
I remember one time Darrell Waltrip years ago had said this, and it's been used in other things as well, about racing and sports. He's like, I'd rather be lucky than good any day of the week.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, like you said, I think that goes for any sport. So, a lot of people say you definitely make your own luck, right? You have to be fast. You have to be, execute well, whether it's all the stuff I was just talking about, resource, pit road, all that stuff. But, with a little bit of luck, too, it can definitely go a long way.
So you got a Pocono coming up your next race, and we had Ryan Blaney on a few weeks ago, and we're talking about the racing and everything, new tracks. How do you prepare for Pocono? Do you get in the simulator and Pocono is right there for you?
Yeah, absolutely. So, I would say it's along those same lines of kind of every week's prep, to be honest. I think, a normal week for me is, kind of going to the simulator on a Thursday afternoon where we make, 2 hours worth of laps at, kind of different racetracks, but majority of the time is spent on whatever that next week race is. So, Tomorrow we'll be going to the simulator and going to Pocono and running a lot of laps, working on our setup, working on myself, so that we're ready to hit the ground running when we get there.
NASCAR driver Todd Gilliland is on with us. Pocono might be, in my opinion, the most unique track on the circuit. Obviously, it's got three turns. That's what it's most known for, is the tricky triangle. But each straightaway is different. Each turn is different. I know they're mirrored after other tracks. Is that where it really puts it in the driver's hands, that you got to really know what you're doing around this place?
Yeah, I think it's, I'd say maybe the biggest thing is just as a driver, knowing what you're trying to achieve. Because, if you're trying to make it fast in, one corner, maybe there's not as much speed there as other corners. And obviously, you want to be as good as you can through every corner. But like you mentioned, they're just so different. So it's definitely a really challenging race weekend on, drivers, teams, engineers, crew chiefs, all that stuff. So I think in the end, you're going to have to, kind of pick and choose what corners are most important to you. I think naturally some cars will be better through certain areas. So take your strengths, kind of, try and pick out your weaknesses. So, I mean, in the long run, it's kind of the same focus as normal, but definitely this weekend is much tougher. Crew chiefs, engineers, trying to, dial in the car to being exactly perfect. I just don't think that's going to be even a thing this weekend, just because the corners are so different.
And then in a couple of weeks, you guys go to the now renamed Echo Park Speedway in Atlanta. I'm curious of that, because I when they repaved it and they did the reconfiguration, they kind of set it up like a super speedway, even though it was a mile and a half. Do you feel like it's going away from that and kind of going back to an intermediate?
I think you can certainly see, the potential for that. But I don't think it's there yet. I think there's still a lot of, a lot of downforce to be, built back into the race cars for, the teams. And I think this weekend will certainly be the most, kind of mile and a half field that you've seen in a long time at Echo Park Speedway down there. So, just because of the temperature, it's going to be much hotter, obviously at night. So that kind of cancels out a little bit. But when we were there in February, track was extremely cool and made a lot of grip. So I think you could see some more guys sliding around. And it's still a balance of how much grip you want to build into your car versus how much you want to take off for speed and drag down the straightaway. So I think you'll continue to see it be a super speedway for a while, but definitely the pavement's aging, probably quicker than all of us thought. So it could definitely be a place where you're slipping and sliding around before we know it.
Todd, the news is out this morning. It's not official yet, but the rumor is that NASCAR is finalizing a deal with the city of San Diego to do a street course race there in Southern California. And I know Southern California is a big market for the sport. And while it's not official, I mean, how cool would it be to race the streets of San Diego? We've seen it in Chicago with that street race, but how neat would that be?
Yeah, that would be a lot of fun. I think, the biggest thing is kind of getting back into that, Southern California market, right? We went to Auto Club Speedway for a long time, which was a great racetrack, but it's been shut down. And then, we went to the LA Coliseum for a long time, which was awesome. But then we've kind of gone a couple of years without going there at all. So I think San Diego would be a great place. Obviously, logistics-wise, NASCAR is getting really good at putting on street races, and I think we can do it pretty flawlessly. So I'm excited about that. And, in my opinion, I just at least hope the rumors are true, right? It sounds like fun from my seat.
Yeah, should be fun for sure. Todd, thanks so much for doing this today. Good luck in Pocono. We'll talk to you again soon.
Awesome. Yep, it was great talking to you guys.
Todd Gilliland, driver of the number 34 Front Row Motorsports Ford. And again, they will be racing at the Pocono Raceway, the Great American Getaway 400 presented by VisitPA.com. That's coming up on Sunday. And as always, you can hear that starting at noon here on 102.5 The Game.
It's Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Chasing Checkers is on the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Pocono is always somewhere I look forward to in the summer. Just feel like the atmosphere around the track's really nice, and racetrack has been good to us. We've always been fast at Pocono since I started in Cup. So, and that goes back to really truck days. So, yeah, I like getting around Pocono. I feel like our team does a good job there. You know, it's typically a decently strong track for Hendrick. Usually one good car from Gibbs, one good car from Penske, you know, kind of mixed in between. So fun place, challenging place, flat, some bump content to look for. So, yeah, I look forward to it.
That's the points leader, William Byron on Pocono. Welcome back in, Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 the game. We have moved fast and furious today. My thanks to Joe Williams and also Todd Gilliland for joining the show. But the tricky triangle of Pocono coming up this weekend, and, you know, it used to be two races. They used to be longer. I'm glad that it's one. I think it keeps it special. It keeps it unique. I think that's a good thing. And also they've shortened it a little bit. But I like the tricky triangle. I like Pocono. You know, as Todd said, I mean, it's a difficult racetrack. There are three different straightaways, three different turns. So it certainly adds for some fun for the drivers, and you got to know what you're doing as well when you go into this. A thing that is curious to me, that is Dale Earnhardt Jr., is you heard me bring it up with Joe, is going to be the crew chief for his driver, Connor Zilich, this weekend at Pocono. Junior Motorsports put out on Twitter or X earlier today, says, quote, "This weekend, Dale Jr. will be filling in for Marty Lindley as crew chief of the number 88 as Lindley serves his one race suspension for loose lug nuts following the NASCAR Xfinity race in Nashville 2 weeks ago." Because the Xfinity's been off for 2 weeks. So Dale Jr. on the pit box. If you haven't watched the Xfinity series, you're missing out because it's a lot of fun. But you got to check that out of Dale Jr. being on the pit box. I don't know. I could be wrong. I don't think there's ever been an Earnhardt on the pit box like that as a crew chief. So that's going to be something. I'm sure his buddy Steve Letarte has given him some pointers, given him some advice, but I think that's pretty cool. Junior, you know, has won at Pocono. He obviously knows how to get around there. So I think this should be interesting, but we'll definitely be paying attention to that. I'll tell you another guy on the Cup side as we roll out of here. Watch out for Chase Elliott, because I think he's starting to show some confidence. He has not won yet, but, I mean, he finds himself right now in the standings. He's fourth. He's been very consistent. Chase Elliott, to me, might be a guy to watch to win this weekend. I mean, lately he was third last weekend, 2/15 at Nashville and Michigan, a sixth, a fifth in the All-Star race. I mean, he's been right in there, but he's been relatively consistent. So I would watch out for him as we get into the summer. That is going to do it for us. Appreciate you joining us. We're here every Wednesday. You can check out the podcast as well. Just search for Chasing Checkers wherever you get your podcasts. Or go to thegamenashville.com. It is that simple. We'll talk to you next Wednesday. Chasing Checkers, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Check out all of our podcasts at thegamenashville.com or find us on Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and all other major podcast platforms.